There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to get the week started with you. Live local talk over the next couple of hours and lots to do on the show. Plus, we'll check in with Dr. Bill, get more on our forecast coming up in just a little bit. And tough news as we start off the show today. Shocking. As a child, I thought that this day would never come. And I have not yet talked to my dear mother about this. I don't know her reaction. I'll have to do that. But did you hear the news there that Pier 1 has filed for bankruptcy? Where else will, if Pier 1 goes, maybe they'll get restructured and bought out. But, I mean, where will folks go for sandalwood? Where will they go for Nautilus shells that you can display in your bookshelf? You know, where will they go? Where will they go for rattan furniture if Pier 1 is not there? Where will the American people get these very important items for their homes? Just, I don't know, just wondering. I have not talked to my mother about it. I know I spent a lot of time as a child going, oh, I'm so bored. I'm so walking around those stores. So it's just pretty shocking news as Pier 1 filing for bankruptcy out there. But that's not the focus of today's show. I got lots more coming your way. And also, reminder, today the deadline to get registered or update your voter registration information. You can do it electronically. We got a link on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. If you look at one of our top stories of the day, three big things, get to the last day to register story. There's a hyperlink in there that'll take you to the page. Make sure that you've updated information, or if you're somebody brand new to this thing, you get registered to vote because, well, we're just 2 weeks out from Super Tuesday, and we're just 1 week out from Fat Tuesday, oddly enough. All right, so we'll talk about that some more. Also about politics nationally and politics in the state of Alabama. I'd love to talk to our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and he's the leadoff batter on this Monday. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Well, other than the Pier 1 news, I'm okay. The Pier 1 news hit me hard.
That's tough. Well, also, I saw that Club La Vila in Panama City is not going to be opening back up. So, yeah, vestiges from our childhood.
If there was, there's no Pier 1 to go get drug around by Mother 2 when I was a little kid, and no Club La Vila to drag myself to as an older kid. Yeah, our childhood is gone, man.
I don't know. That second one's probably for the best.
So, did they say they're not making money, or is PCB shutting them down, or what?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, the days of the Miracle Mile and Panama City as a party destination is kind of, you know, there's more money in families these days, and I think Panama City has transitioned.
Okay, well, we'll get into transitioning and trans stuff here in just a little bit. I know you're anxious to get to that discussion, but first, more to talk about as transparency, the leadoff on the email today that I'll tell you all. Actually, I'll let Todd tell you all about how to get in your inbox here in a little bit. But your number one story, bills seek transparency from state boards and the AHSAA. Now, talk to me. State board of what?
Well, you got to remember there are more than 100 of state boards that do things like licensing certain occupations. There's a board of cosmetology. There's a board of this and that, and a lot of them are pretty consequential. They have medical boards that license doctors and things like that. So these boards right now, there is no mechanism, no law that makes their spending, their budgets, transparent like the rest of state government. The rest of the government has a big online checkbook where you can go look for any spending by a certain agency, but boards are kind of quasi-agencies, so they don't really have this. So Chris Pringle, state representative from down there, has filed this bill that would make it all transparent. And as boring as that may sound, that you're making agencies more transparent or these boards more transparent, it's actually a huge deal. And because right now, I mean, I'm not calling anybody liars or saying that they're doing the wrong thing.
No.
But it's when there's no transparency, there's certainly the opportunity for, you know, untoward behavior. So it's always better to have it out in the open. And there's another bill by Wes Allen. He's a state representative from over there in Troy. And his bill would essentially make the Alabama High School Athletic Association compel them to have an audit, regularly. And there's a lot of people who have had questions about this organization. You know, the high school association is kind of like the NCAA, but there's a lot of questions about that. So he wants them to have an audit. So a couple of government transparency bills getting some traction in the legislature, and we're about to start our third week.
Yeah, I would have, okay, let me go back, because I know in the past I've talked about these boards. You mentioned cosmetology and others that, I mean, I think there are some boards Alabamians will say, yeah, I'd like some oversight there. But then there's this question of other boards and other licenses in the state. It seems a bit protectionist to me, Todd.
Yeah, and look, this is an emerging issue, you know, occupational licensing. I know when I was in D.C., we talked a lot about it because, yeah, you certainly want your board of medical examiners to make sure that the doctors in the state, you know, if you have a medical license, you deserve to have a medical license. But there is a balance, like you said, with cosmetology. Now, maybe there's a good reason why somebody needs to have a license there. They're regulated and all that kind of stuff. If they're going to use sharp objects, maybe there is. But at what point, by requiring all these licenses, by going through, making people jump through all these hoops, do we start really making it harder for these workers to actually do work? If you're a, you know, beautician or a, you know, cosmetologist, whatever they call themselves, I used to call them barbers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we call them now. Should it be that tough to, if that's your occupation, to go make a living somewhere? And that's just one example. There are plenty of examples. So we certainly don't want to make it tougher. Here we are in this economy that's going gangbusters. People are trying to get into the workforce. We need employees. We need workers. So we don't need to be making it harder for folks to actually try to do a good job in careers that maybe these licenses and regulations aren't necessary.
Yeah, I don't know if this has changed since last time I looked at it, but for a while, all interior decorators, I think, in the state were in a situation where they had to pass, you know, had to be member of the board or be signed off on. I think it changed here recently, and they said you don't have to be licensed if you're doing interior decorating in houses, but if you're doing interior decorating in any kind of public building, office space or something like that, you still have to be licensed. I may be wrong on that, but I think it's right.
And maybe the scope there is bigger. I know that some interior decorators actually sort of merge over into the architecture, you know, and design and stuff like that. Certainly we want our architects to be licensed. That makes me feel a lot better about walking around in buildings. But again, the government can always go too far. And so Pringle, I think Mr. Pringle has done a good job of running the state government committee, where that's what they're doing. They have oversight of these agencies and these boards. So it's interesting legislation. I guarantee you, when we wrote our story today, there were a lot of raised eyebrows in Montgomery from those who are on these boards saying, we better clean up the books.
Yeah, and okay, so that's part of this. And then this AHSAA issue, this came up. Speaking of Representative Pringle, we talked at length last week about the GIRL Act with him, and then that meeting there at the committee meeting talking about his bill there in Montgomery. And listen, there's a whole sideshow and another story there about Representative John Rogers. But for a second, we'll peel away from that and just talk about, he told me that right now it's the AHSAA's decision on who can play what sport, right? The fact that their decision is if your AHSAA says you had to be, your birth certificate has to say male or female for you to play male or female sports, right? I mean, it's their, but they're not a government agency, are they? I mean, what is their standing?
Well, they are. I'd put them in quasi-state agency. I mean, they are empowered to make those decisions on behalf of, you know, public schools. But I think that's exactly why he's pursuing a legislation, saying, look, you know, we don't need to let this exist kind of at the whims of agency bureaucrats. Let's actually define in the law what we want it to be. That committee meeting you referenced, nobody actually motioned to move the bill forward. I think they may have gotten a little spooked by just the gravity of it and the fact that it had become so controversial and everything. Nobody knew what the next step was going to be. I still fully expect it to move forward. I think his transgender bill will move forward. He's made it clear he's not trying to discriminate against anybody, but rather just set policy and make sure that it's about girls not being subject to, you know, biologically male competition, which I think everybody sees is unfair. And maybe there are some different circumstances out there, but we've all seen stories around the internet and most from other states where it's just, you know, a really sad situation, girls being taken advantage of like that. So, I expect his bill to move forward. But, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, AAS.
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't even want to say it again.
That thing, right. Yeah. Yeah.
They're kind of a boogeyman, right? They're an easy whipping boy in these kind of situations. They've got a tough job to do. It's kind of like the NCAA. They got a tough job to do. And so it's sometimes they get beat up in these sort of situations.
All right, coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. He's going to talk about I'm going to ask him, and hopefully he'll talk about how to get that email in your inbox. Holy cow, if there was ever a time to be getting that every weekday, plus once on the weekend, it's now. I mean, we are just 2 weeks out from Super Tuesday, legislative session wide open in Montgomery. He'll tell us more about that, and also we'll talk about some more news from Montgomery when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
At 1223, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Continuing our conversation with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com on the web. And in addition, you can sign up and get an email delivered to your, whatever you got, Rocket Mail, your old AOL account. He doesn't care. Whatever your email address is, you can have that email show up every weekday morning and once on the weekend. Todd, tell people how to do it.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people really do still have AOL addresses. No.
I know.
No shame. It's really easy, and now is a great time to be signed up. Like you said, we've got the election going on. We've got legislative session going on. So now you'll want to get the email. That's the best way to read it. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. The newsletter is free, no charge at all. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. aldailynews.com. Be glad to have you as a subscriber.
Yeah, this is a big deal now through Super Tuesday and, of course, the runoffs, but, of course, session in effect for quite a while longer. Let's talk about some of the ads the gloves are, you know, the gloves are off or the boxing gloves are on when it comes to the Alabama Senate primary, Republican primary. Our Congressman, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, has two new ads out there. One has a mock-up of a job interview.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it on TV yet.
Oh, I've watched it online, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Bradley Byrne, he's taking the gloves off. Like you said, he's going after both Jeff Sessions and Tommy Tuberville. This first ad is kind of a funny ad where there's this panel of, you know, judges who are interviewing Senate candidates. He pokes fun at Sessions for being fired by Trump. He pokes fun at Tuberville for also being fired and, you know, can't keep a job in his coaching career, and then, you know, highlights his own Trump bona fides. But It was the first ad that I've seen that really does go after somebody and create a contrast. Now, it's not your traditional attack ad. It's kind of lighthearted.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably pretty effective. Of course, the line that sort of sticks out is one of the judges says, yeah, and Hillary's not even in jail yet, as if Jeff Sessions has failed somehow by mm-hmm. not putting Hillary Clinton in jail.
There's a lot of people believe that, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's probably an effective ad. People were texting me and emailing me over the weekend asking me, like, really? Is this ad going to work? I was like, yeah, there's plenty of people, whether they're being serious or not, that think that Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted more stringently. Now, you know, the way I'd see that is we don't prosecute our political opponents. Now, she certainly had some problems with the email and all that kind of stuff. But it would have been a really bad look if Donald Trump's Justice Department comes in and prosecutes Hillary Clinton. Be that as it may, there's plenty of Republicans that in Alabama that think that way. And so I think it's probably an effective ad. But, of course, the other one is aimed at Tuberville. And that one is half positive for Byrne. So he's got, you know, the president thanking Bradley Byrne for the impeachment stuff. That's 15 seconds. And then the other 15 seconds is a hit at Tommy Tuberville for the comments he made about immigration, saying that, you know, we should have a pathway to citizenship for workers that come here. So, I mean, and it's got audio from it. So I'm kind of surprised that's not a 30-second ad, but a pretty strong hit on Tuberville. I'm interested to see kind of how the traction goes, because both of these ads went up this weekend and will now be increasingly played as the next 2 weeks goes on.
Yeah, on the Tuberville side, I think, didn't he push back and say, well, that's not what he said, and he's against, you know, amnesty for illegals?
He did. He clarified and said, hey, you know, that's not what I meant, and it's out of context and all this kind of stuff. And that happens. You know, I've seen it a million times when a candidate just says something on the campaign trail that maybe they didn't mean or they meant it a different way. Tuberville said a couple of these things.
He's been gaffe prone.
And he had that thing about, you know, he was pissed off at the president over the treatment of veterans and, you know, with the illegal immigration. So, I mean, I know, you know, you got to take him at his word, but at the same time, when you have a pattern of saying these things, it sort of demonstrates that. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting that here we are, we're 2 weeks out of Election Day, and Byrne has made the clear decision to go after Sessions and Tuberville. And look, we all saw the polling last week, right? I mean, Byrne is in third place. Now, is he at 17% like our poll showed and another poll showed? Maybe. I would have thought he was a little higher than 17. I think a lot of people would. But clearly he's in third place. He's got to punch up. He's got to, you know, punch his way into that runoff. And so this is a good decision by his campaign. Whether or not it'll work remains to be seen.
All right. With that, I mean, Tuberville's got somebody on staff that can punch as well, right? I mean, this could go dirty coming back pretty fast. Yeah, when I say dirt, mudslinging from the Tuberville campaign.
So what I'm hearing, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that there is a Tuberville ad that's either on the air now or about to be on the air that attacks both Sessions and Bradley Byrne. So clearly, Tuberville wants to hit back. You know, but it's interesting to me that he's not just attacking Sessions, he's also attacking Byrne. He doesn't want Byrne to have any momentum to challenge him for that runoff spot. So I haven't seen it yet. We'll wait. If anybody does, please let me know. But it's apparently there's a Tuberville attack ad in the works.
Now, will it end up as all three of those candidates will just punch each other down, and then Stanley Adair or Mooney will step in, Ruth Page Nelson will step in for the win?
Well, there's always Roy Moore, you know. Roy Moore that can come in on his horse after.
Sassy horse.
Sassy, yes. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of undecideds still in this race. Our poll last week showed that there were 16% of voters still undecided. That's a lot for, you know, with 2 weeks to go. And this is just the Republicans, you know. I mean, it's not like this hasn't been going on for a while. So you're in this environment where right now people are making up their minds. So you want to be on TV. This is the perfect time to be on TV, to be setting a contrast between you and your opponents. I know a lot of people don't like negative campaigning just because it puts a bad taste in their mouth, but it it actually works. It tends to move the needle more so than just, you know, positive, here's who I am and here's what I want kind of ads. When you attack somebody, that tends to move the needle, especially if it rings true and you land it really well.
I wish it wasn't true, but it is. Todd Stacy, as always, a pleasure. ALDailyNews.com. We'll check back with you real soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
Will do. Todd Stacy, check it in, and then we're going to get your calls and your text at 343-0106. Plus, win them before you can buy them. Tickets coming up this hour.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile. Midday Mobile, whatever order you want to put it in. I know this, that sometime very, very soon, we'll put it that way, your chance at win them before you can buy them tickets to see Def Leppard and ZZ Top coming to the Wharf Amphitheater September 28th. Tickets go on sale Friday through Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office, but your chance to win them before you can buy them sometime very soon, right here on Midday Mobile. All right, a couple of stories, and let me go through some of your text, and we got lines open at 343-0106. Back to our conversation from the beginning of the hour about these license commissions and what is license in the state, and I was talking about the interior design. Got a text here, FYI, anyone can call themselves an interior decorator. An interior designer has a bachelor's degree, and not every interior designer is qualified to be licensed. A licensed interior designer has additional knowledge in building practices, engineering practices, as it relates to construction. All right, so there you go. Chris says an angry group of cosmetologists are coming after Todd. They're going to come after Todd Stacy, Chris, not me. I had nothing to do with it. Me? Only people that are really coming after me lately are some of the parading groups, that ladies parading groups, that I've just wondered about the waste of the throws that don't make it over the guardrails. That's the only people with the pitchforks out for me. Don't include the other group, for I'm already in enough trouble. And then I didn't get a chance to talk to Todd about this, but the gambling issue. Now, remember, we announced this. Heck, the governor herself announced it, Governor Ivey, when she did her State of the State address. Because you're thinking, all right, they came close to getting something done on Lotto last year. This thing should be a layup this year. And remember Governor Ivey announcing she would form a study group for gambling policy? Study group. So everybody's going to get their books and study. They're going to hang out. We're going to the pizza place. Let's go to the pizza place and hang out and study gambling. Do that. Maybe we'll get a pitcher of beer. It'll be crazy. We go to the bowling alley. Study group for gambling policy. Why can't we call it the Gambling Policy Book Club? The frustration with this, to me, is acting like the information's not out there. I mean, this is the biggest putting this on ice. I mean, just calling it what it is. I'm not doing this like it's not punditry here. This is just saying what it is. And then you have, you know, local members members of this study group on gambling policies, some of them local. We'll talk about that in a second. They're going to be tasked with giving recommendations by the end of the year. Now, the end of session is in May. The end of the legislative session is May. The governor knew this was coming last year, could have announced it before last session, could have announced it in between the sessions, but now we're going to study this. Second year of a real push here on Lotto when the governor says, well, we got to have a study group to look into this. And I'm not saying the people in the study group aren't going to do their best here, but do we? What this is to slow down the gambling discussion. It's not like it was... not like this is new in Alabama. It's not like this is something, somebody just had some new invention, you know, or whatever. We got to find out if this is okay for us. I mean, this is a known commodity. We've talked about this show at length, what the issues are surrounding Lotto, the groups that want the money, the groups that want monopolies, the groups that are trying to protect their interest versus another interest, those that want to have more money go into the education trust fund, those who want to have it go into the general fund. Those are the issues. To sit down and have to rehash all this, I think we're just delaying this process. So, yeah, and from our neck of the woods, guest on this show quite a bit, and Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, one of the members of this gambling task force. And hopefully, I know I'll talk to him next month, but hopefully even before then, I can get him on to talk about this. State Insurance Commissioner Walter Bell, Dr. Regina Benjamin is going to be on it as well. She was quoted, Chad Petrie did a piece over on News 5 about this on their website, and she was, quoted... Okay, right now, this is Dr. Benjamin said, right now we don't have many mental health resources that we can really afford as a state, so even if we bring it in, we need to make sure that these funds go to places they need to go. Went on to say, oftentimes people who can least afford it are the ones spending their money on gambling, hoping for a big windfall. So Regina Benjamin said she wanted to protect people in need on this. Okay, well, you would expect that from a doctor. And let me point this out. As I have every time in this discussion, if you do not think there are societal ills that come with gambling, I don't know about Lotto. Are there people, I guess there are, that spend money they shouldn't on lottery tickets. I don't know that you see somebody like out on the streets because of Lotto. Maybe y'all, as soon as I say this, somebody will have a story for me on the text line. I don't know that, I mean, come on, lottery is the wine spritzer of the gambling world, right? Maybe there's a story of somebody has a compulsive lotto problem and they've been buying space scratch-offs they can't afford. Maybe, and that may be true. But for me to pretend there's not, as you go beyond that, there's not societal ills, that is incorrect. But right now I would argue if people in Alabama, except if you're like, where's the most centrally located? If somebody in Dallas County might have a time getting out of state, there's a few counties right in the middle, but generally, I would say if you look at the big population in North Alabama, down here in Southwest Alabama, maybe Birmingham area, a little more of a drive too, that if people want to go gamble, if they're buying lottery tickets, they're buying them now. Every state that touches us, you buy a lottery ticket. If you want to go gamble, I mean, people are going from Mississippi every day, and those societal ills come back here, but we're making no revenue from it. But the gambling thing is still happening. So for the governor, these are all known things. And I mean, I hope maybe there'll be something comes out of this, and maybe there'll be more in-depth research into the compact offered by the Porch Bandit Creek Indians. But for the governor to have this study group for gambling policy, the study group that meets at the pizza parlor, gets a large pepperoni, and really looks into it, I don't know. To me, this seems like a complete job of icing this. Anderson says, study group on gambling or the lotto is likely a study group on capital punishment. No, Brian, you're wrong, Brian, because malt liquor, Dalton, didn't malt liquor have more alcohol? So Brian on the text line says, is disagreeing with me on the wine spritzer thing, saying that, no, gambling is the malt liquor. Lotto is the malt liquor of gambling. Doesn't malt liquor have more, show my ignorance here. Doesn't malt liquor have more alcohol than regular beer? Isn't that why it's popular? It's not that malt liquor has some kind of flavor profile that can't be challenged by traditional beers? And Brian, I think you're all right. I think malt liquor has more. So what I'm trying to say is wine spritzers have like very low alcohol content. Okay, we'll Google this at the news break. And figure out the alcohol content in malt liquor and return with that much needed news and your calls and texts at 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1248 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again, and thankfully Stamps.com eases that pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. Now, this is obviously a big deal for small businesses, mediums, anybody who is trying to make a profit here. It really adds up. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online. online, which saves you time. No more inconvenient trips to the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, that's us, online sellers shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle all that with ease. And they're a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. Right now, y'all can get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitment. Here's what you do. Go to Stamps.com and click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my first name, Sean, spelled S-E-A-N, Sean. It's Stamps.com, and when you see that microphone, click that and enter Sean, S-E-A-N, and see what we've been doing here at FM Talk 106.5. We're Stamps.com customer ourselves, and we are digging it. All right. Thank you, Dalton, for the research and the people on the text line. I'm sorry, I guess at my age, I should know the alcohol content for malt liquor. All I knew is it was more than regular beer, because Brian had said that, that Lotto, because I was saying lottery is the wine spritzer of the gambling world, and he said it was the malt liquor. And I was just thinking, higher alcohol content, yes. And then Dan said, thanks, Dan, Bud Ice, Natty Ice, Mickey's, Colt 45, Steel Reserve, Schlitz, etc. Dalton saying that's 7% alcohol. So I would say, what would be akin to, what level, you look at class 3 gaming, and what's the biggest, is it rolling dice? Is that the most gambling you can do? Or is it playing blackjack? Or is it video poker? Which one is the, if you had to score, which one is the highest proof in the gambling world? To me, it's going to be dice, right? Dice or cards of some sort. I mean, poker is a game of skill, right? It's luck, too, but a game of skill on top of that. So, although you could argue blackjack is... I don't know. Is it craps? Is it roll? I think that might be the... I don't know. It's a weak category for me. Gambling is just not a... But I talk about it all the time because I want the state to have the right of referendum. I want the people to vote on it. I really... Like, if we have it or don't have it, it doesn't really change much in my daily... But do I buy... Yeah, I'll buy a lottery ticket. If I'm somewhere and they have lottery tickets for sale and I'm getting a Slim Jim and a Diet Coke or something, sure. I'll buy where they random generate the number. I don't even have any numbers. I just let them random generate. But this, going back to the whole thing, this is just... I'm just calling it out for what it is. This is Governor Ivey punting on this and giving cover to the legislature. If they want to say, if the legislature wants to come out and say, there's not enough of us to vote for a lottery bill, y'all aren't going to have a chance at a constitutional amendment on lottery, then fine, then they're on the record. But when you do this, we're going to study it. Don't act like this is brand new. It's not brand new. So that was a rant about that. All right, a couple other items here that we're looking at in Montgomery this week. A couple of them we talked about with Todd Stacey earlier. But remember, they've also got budgets to work on. And I know that's no fun. The budget work will be done a little bit behind the scenes right now, and then we'll hear a lot of talk about this as it gets to the end of session. Right, that's when they'll really start getting into it. Also, they will start talking in committee back to medical marijuana. And we'll see. Medical marijuana, one of those things last year. They said, they were about to get something done on this. And what did they do? They said, we've got to have a study. We have to have a commission study this. Like, there's no other state that has moved forward with medical marijuana. We can't work off their studies. We need to impanel a commission, a study club that could have pepperoni pizza and Coca-Cola and study these things. So they did that, but now seems to be, let's see, it says Wednesday, so they gavel back in tomorrow, or they're back in session tomorrow in Montgomery. On Wednesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee will be holding a public hearing where the medical marijuana bill will likely be discussed, and a vote on the bill could happen even as early as Wednesday. And also, you have the GIRL Act, too, Chris Pringle's Act. That's in committee for a vote, I think, on Wednesday to come out of committee. We'll see how that does. But yes, the medical marijuana bill is going to be discussed in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it is a public hearing, so if you want to go up there and advocate or something like that, it's your chance to do it. It's State Senator Tim Nelson. He says now, a little clarification in the bill from last year, he would require that people first get a prescription for medical marijuana from a state-approved doctor. before going to a dispensary to purchase their products. Only those with a specific condition would be approved for medical marijuana card. You know, we'll have to see how does that work? How does it work? It's, once again, I have no dog in that hunt either, but I would argue that, number one, I think the state has the right, people have the right to talk about this, to petition. I mean, you have two Republican bill, House and a Senate bill for medical marijuana, both Republican bills out there, and they're getting squashed. But you also open it up when you say, well, it's specific conditions, and maybe that helps alleviate the problem other states have. You know, the other states where you had to go to a doctor and get a prescription, but just about everybody was getting a prescription for it. What's the old Tommy Chong thing, right? He walks into the doctor in California when they had passed medical marijuana and said, hey, doc, I need some marijuana. The doctor says, for what? He says, for anxiety. And the doctor says, what do you have anxiety about, Tommy? He said, about not having any marijuana. So, I mean, that's the issue there. Let's see here. Texter says, what has KIV actually done as governor? She's doing the same thing with gambling that she did with medical marijuana. Absolutely nothing. What's the study? I'll agree on that. She got the Aztecs passed, though. Right? She got that passed. Jerome, you cannot. Jerome asking, where can I sign up to be in all the study groups? Jerome, I don't... Maybe you can. I have not been asked. Remember, I was cut off from the contact with Governor Ivey's office early last year, maybe this time last year, maybe... Maybe during the she came on, I guess, during the campaign. Did she? No, she didn't even come on during the campaign. So I don't know, Jerome. You have a better chance of finding out from somebody else. Brian says, until it becomes federally legal, no VA doctors will ever prescribe it. Sure. And, you know, the thing about the marijuana thing, too, is it's against federal law. It's why when I've talked to Jeff Sessions here, and he'll probably be back on the show this week, you know, I'd say he gives me this kind of squint look at me when I say it, but it's the same thing I've said to y'all, and I said in front of him too, is my argument is when he was attorney general, he was the best thing going for people that wanted legalized marijuana. I know you'll recoil from that and say, how? Because he was doing what he always does. He was enforcing the rule of law. Right now you have a situation where Washington and the states are having their cake and eating it too. Still against federal law, but these states are in open defiance of federal law. It's okay. It's what it is. We'll just let it happen. Jeff Sessions would have cracked down on that. And then you would have had the hue and cry from the states. You would have had members of the legislature actually do their job. And if you think there's more people that approve of it or not, then you would have gotten the outcome you want. I mean, seriously, his enforcement, what would have happened with the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and his zeal for rule of law, he would have gone after the states that were in open defiance of federal law. Those legislators from those states would have pushed others in the House, would have pushed others in the Senate to move something, because they're not going to lose that cash cow. Then you would have had a great, great chance of getting something done. But now, William Barr is just worried about the president's tweets, so there we go. All right, let's do this before we close out the hour and give you a chance. Let's say caller number six. Does that sound good? Caller number six at 343-0106. You got a shot at win them before you can buy them tickets. It's Def Leppard, ZZ Top at the Wharf Amphitheater. Show's coming up September 28th. Tickets go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. Once again, looking for caller number six at 343-0106. The tickets are yours, and you get another four shots this week to win those tickets as well. So, once again, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees Def Leppard and ZZ Top will be at the Wharf Amphitheater September 28th. You can win your tickets right now or buy them on Friday, Ticketmaster.com or the Wharf box office. All right, so good luck. We'll talk about that coming up next hour. Also, check it in next hour. My friend Casey Calloway from Mobile Baykeeper will talk about coal ash and a whole lot more, and a rise in river. It's all straight ahead.